Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 74 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. Today's episode brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. So today on the show, I've got a couple of things I want to fill you guys in on, a new project and some other stuff. And then I'll bring on Wilson. We'll talk about a few things, including some more conversational items about the Integrity March. I think most people that are listening to this podcast right now that aren't regulars are waiting to hear about that. So if you've seen this posted on a gun forum or whatever, if I've posted it, I'll probably give you the minute marker so you can go straight to that if you're not interested about all the stuff that's going on at the CCFR. Okay, so let's get started. New project at the CCFR, I'm making the announcement right now, first time ever, is I recently, this past week, signed a new deal with Wild TV to produce another limited series that will build on the gun, or I think it was Gun Ban Canada, the 2 one-hour specials that we did. Well, we've got a new show coming out that that expands on that. And it's either going to be called Gun Ban Canada Reloaded or Gun Ban Canada Exposed. And the purpose of these 4 half-hour episodes is we're going to be taking basically Bill Blair and Justin Trudeau, their arguments that support Bill C-71 and support the gun ban, and we will deconstruct them with evidence and data and basically tell you why what they're telling you is not true and that they're lying to you. And this is, it's going to be on Wild TV. A lot of people, again, misunderstand why we do these things. Number one, the outdoor channels are the only ones that will allow us to air this content. And I know that for a fact. Number two, the way that the CCFR writes its contracts with these entities for production is that once it airs, we have perpetual unrestricted rights for online distribution. That means that the minute that it airs on television, we can turn around, upload it to the internet. Then it becomes your job, right, as an individual gun owner, to sit people down and make them watch it, or send it to all your friends and ask them to watch it, or to go on social media and become a social media warrior for the forces of good and say, you know what that doctor right there said is not true, or what Bill Blair said right there is not true, or what, you know, Chrystia Freeland is saying is not true. And you post that on social media. You show people, like, you know, here's that stuff. And here's the interesting thing. So, and some people will think, well, no one will watch it. Well, you know what? 10% of the people will watch it. And probably 80% of those 10% won't ever admit that they watched it. But their mind will be not changed, but they'll have received that other viewpoint, right? And they'll have received the truth, because nothing that I say is ever untrue. I mean, what a weird thing to say, but that's accurate, right? I'm never going to say things that are not true, because that undermines our position. And the anti-gunners can do that all day long, because the media will never hold them to account, nor will the government, right? So anyway, we're in a different position than they are. We have to be truthful. We have to be accurate. So anyway, one of the reasons why it's so important that the CCFR does this work, I guess a couple of reasons. The first thing is, no gun group has ever lifted a finger to make high production value content that tells our side of the story. They've never done that. Of 30, 40 years and tens of millions of dollars worth of donations, no one's ever done it. And the reason why that's important is the anti-gun side of this argument has piles of high production value content that supports their side of the story. I mean, I'm not going to say they're lies, because it's not all lies, right? Some of the stuff is accurate. You know, people do get shot, you know, guns do get stolen. That's true, right? But we're looking at things from a realistic perspective, just like we look at any other issues, like, you know, alcohol or tobacco or motor vehicles, or, you know, like motorcycles, or, you know, private people being able to have recreational pilot's licenses. There's all kinds of things in our society that are dangerous, right? That put the public at risk at some level, but we look at them objectively and we figure out ways to regulate those activities. And then it works the best we can. And we end up with this balance between, do you live in an open air prison on one extreme? Or can you do anything you want? Can you run around with nuclear material on the other end of the extreme, right? Most people want to live somewhere in the middle, and, you know, off to maybe one side, you know, give or take. So the extreme elements in our community, not in our community, pardon me, of the anti-gunners community, they've got all kinds of material that floats around there. Stuff that people view as legitimate. Because when you produce something, when you produce content and it has high production value, it carries legitimacy, right? So, you know, if all the material that was out there was me sitting, you know, on using my phone and just babbling about, you know, gun control and why it's bad, that's not going to compel anybody to watch it other than people that are already interested. You need to have stuff like Canada Downrange season 2, stuff that is just as good as anything you'd see on Discovery Channel or on A&E. That's what you need so that people, and it's entertaining, so that people are curious, they'll watch it. And then it's compelling because it doesn't look like it was done in my basement, right? So anyway, that's why we make that material. And the more material that we have to share around, the better off we are, because there's a public relations war, there's a legislative war, there's a political war, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And you have to be operating in all of these different arenas, all these different environments. And that's what the CCFR, you know, has done. We started as PR only, but there wasn't any work getting done in those other arenas either. So we had no choice but to get involved there, because it is a full spectrum operation. So anyway, all that to say, we've got another 4 episodes. I think they're going to be awesome. So it's a little bit different format, but a lot of the same team. And I think it's going to be, I don't want to put down Gun Ban Canada, but a lot of those interviews were done remotely at varying degrees of quality. This is going to be probably a lot more of a produced piece. So we've made a deal for 4 of them. If we have more subject matter, because I think we probably talked about 8 different episodes, if those 4 work, they're going to come out once a month, a half hour show, which is 22 minutes of content. If that works out, who knows? Maybe we'll do another 10 of them. It's not that expensive. And at the CCFR, we've developed the expertise. Again, you know, nobody had this expertise before. And it was hard fought. It took a lot of work to get there, but now we know how to do these things. We know how to work with networks. We know how to produce this stuff. We know how to distribute it online. We know all this stuff now. So it's a lot easier to do that work than it was when we did the first season of Canada Downrange, which almost killed me. Anyway, so that's coming up. So that's pretty exciting. And there's other deals with another network going on as well. And when I actually have something signed, I'll let you know about that. But there's some other exciting projects like that. And so you will have ammunition for your online and interpersonal battles for the hearts and minds of Canadians. Another thing I want to tell you guys about, quick heads up. We got a lot of donations from a couple of days before May 1st all the way through to today. And with clubs and individuals, and some of those donations were large. And I just wanted to let you know, it's a strange situation. I really don't even want to bring it up, but I think it's something that you should know. We had a bit of a staffing issue 2 months ago. Well, it was in the middle of June. Thank you letters were supposed to go out to everybody from me directly, because I wrote them. were to go out from me to anyone that donated cumulatively $500 or more, and then an actual present, you know, a gift was supposed to be sent to anyone or any entity or individual that did $1,000 or more. And I found out this morning that never happened. I was told it was all done. It had happened. We got a complaint from someone. I was like, why are they complaining? That was all done a month and a half ago. And it turns out it wasn't. And those letters will be going out. Hopefully they should be all done by the end of tomorrow. It's a lot of work because there was a lot of those donations. So anyway, I just wanted to update you on that. A little bit of an uncomfortable topic, but it is what it is. Next thing, interesting comment I saw yesterday from someone in the CCFR closed group. I'm just turning my head. Hopefully it doesn't screw up the sound too much. And it was from Bill Long, and this was in the CCFR group. And Bill said, something I'm pondering, how much money or how long do we keep donating for? I know exact numbers can't be given out, but eventually the coffers must be full? And you know what? That's a totally reasonable question. So I thought, you know what? What a great question to answer on the podcast when there's 10,000 people listening. So here's the answer. Donate what you're comfortable donating. Okay. And if you guys remember when COVID struck, you know, I actually did a commercial. You're probably going to hear it right after I'm done this segment, because I've been playing it recently, which is don't, you know, don't go without food to donate to the CCFR. My perfect scenario is that a lot of people, tens of thousands of people, just become members or donate $20 to $40. And that's it. A large group of people doing just a little bit is far more powerful. You've heard me say this before, so I apologize. Than a small group of people giving everything they possibly can, right? So if you haven't given $20 or $40 or become a member of the CCFR, go ahead and do that. And that makes it so that I'm gonna elaborate on this because it's actually quite interesting. You guys can get a kind of understand what it's like to operate an organization like ours. But that allows people to know that the organization is able to execute its mandate, which we do a lot of things, as you guys well know, and know that we're going to be around for the long haul without thinking like, oh, you know, they need every penny that I can scrape up. So I know it sounds like I'm saying don't donate, but I just want you to donate what you're comfortable with. And I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, without them, you know, going without, the CCFR won't be around. Just try to get your friends and your gun clubs and, you know, your buddies to all become a member. And that's good enough. Okay. So, our community has been generous with us recently. That is what allows us to do TV shows. Like I can make a deal for 4 episodes like that, or the 2 1-hour ones, or the one that's coming up on Sportsman Channel, the 1 hour one. I can make a deal like that by like snapping my fingers. You know why? Cause we have money in the bank right now. Pre-gun ban, we didn't have that much money. We had enough that we could fulfill our obligations. We certainly didn't have enough money to sue the government, that's for sure. And we had enough to keep going for about, I don't know, 16, 18 months. And that's why we actually skinnied down our operations, because the CCFR has to survive. So we were in a different, entirely different mode 3 months ago than we are today. Now I can make those deals. Now you are getting those specials. Now you are getting these lawsuits. Now you are getting charter challenges, which has never happened before because no one ever had enough money to do it, right? Nobody could ever have taken on that challenge. And that's why no one ever lifted a finger to do it before. So anyway, it's from your generosity and your commitment that stuff can actually happen. I'm like a fixture here, right? I can only affect what we have money to do, right? So anyway, when it comes to the donations, every donation that comes in through the legal trust link, remember I talked about that in a video that I released, goes into a trust account. And then any shortfall, and that's what we pay the legal fees out of. So that way it's all accounted for in a government audited account. So you can see exactly what we're bringing in and exactly what we're paying out. So right now, the money that we're taking in is not enough to pay everything we paid out. The CCFRs had to make up the difference, but we've been taking in donations anyway. So it's still coming out of the same organization. But I will release a full accounting, a notarized accounting for that account. So that you can see it. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to tell you what those numbers are. We put out about $600,000, give or take, you know, plus or minus 20, 30 grand in legal fees so far, because when you do a charter challenge and the stuff that we've done, those documents are all public so you can see them. When you do stuff like that, these cases are front loaded because that's when the entire law firm is occupied with doing the research which is the foundation of the case. So you have to do that in your claim. There's another round of evidence that comes out soon. So we'll probably incur, I don't know, another 100,000 maybe 150. And then there's nothing really, just little bits and pieces. And then at the end of the case, when there's court time and any kind of rebuttals and cross-examination, again, right, I'm not a lawyer. But that aspect towards the end of the case, that's when you incur the rest of the expenses. So we paid out about 600. We've taken in somewhere around 550, I guess, in the legal fund. So yeah, I'm telling you flat out. And then probably I'm going to talk about the case in a minute more. I know this is going on, but this is important stuff for you to know if you're a contributor to the CCFR, because you need to know where your money's going. So we're looking at introducing some more evidence. I'll talk about that in a minute, which might cost us a little bit more money, but will actually trigger another aspect of the charter. So you're actually looking at another charter challenge within this case. It should be nominal, maybe another $40,000-$50,000. But we kind of keep adding to this case, and we have an injunction application as well, which is really expensive. And that's part of it as well. So we keep adding to it. But at the end, it's probably going to be $1 million, maybe $1.1 million, I'm hoping, at the most. I could be wrong. But that's what these kinds of cases cost. So anyway, at some point, I think in the next month or two, I will actually release an audited, notarized version of that account, so you guys can see exactly how much we took in the legal TrustLink and from people sending us money earmarked for the case, because that gets diverted to that trust account too, and what we've paid out as well. So transparency, you want it, you got it. So did I answer Bill's question after all that BS that I just spewed out there? Yeah, I think I did, right? How long do you need to contribute or donate? As long as you're comfortable with. But try to get more people to donate small amounts so none of us are burdened as much to try to keep the CCFR going. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And also get your club involved. A lot of clubs have been giving us money, and that's really heartening. But the majority have not done anything to help us. So no guns, no gun clubs. So if you're a member, ask your gun club executive whether or not they've helped out the CCFR. So really important to do, because that's, again, that's a lot easier than individuals, you know, donating $200, $300, $400, $500. That's a lot of money for most people right now, especially the way things are. Okay, so hopefully that answers your question, Bill. And then I wanted to clarify how big the lawsuit is. It's interesting, because I've seen some comments out there, and it's like, oh, here are all the lawsuits. You know, everybody's suing the government. It's like, yeah, that's true. There are a number of different lawsuits in connection with the OIC. But understand clearly that most of them are relatively the same. They are being launched from either individuals or businesses, or maybe an individual and a business or whatever. Ours encompasses everything, including First Nations and an organization. We're the first organization to directly sue the government, right? A firearm organization ever, as far as we can find. And we actually did a legal search across the entire country to make sure that was right. I could have missed something, but I haven't heard anybody dispute that. So this is a landmark case, a historic case. And it's interesting, because I almost get the feeling like some people think these cases are all equal. They're not anywhere near. So all those cases together are very similar. Our case has all of those aspects to it, because you're not going to ignore those. You're going to bring those forward as well. But where all of those cases end up, or end, I should say, ours goes, you know, another 60% farther, because we are doing charter challenges. Our community hasn't never done one. We're doing several. Okay, we're doing Section 26, which reaches past the Charter and goes into the Bill of Rights, and then even farther into history than that. And we're also doing Section 7. Now, that's why, because people, I think somebody sent me an email and they said, well, why does your case, you know, I want to tell my club why your case deserves to be the one that we're supporting. And I'm like, well, because our case has never been done before. Lots of small things have been done, but not like ours. And we need the help, right? Ours is the most expensive, and it's going to change the course of history for gun owners, for the better or worse, right? You never know. The property rights issue is going to be very difficult. There are other aspects of our approach on the charter that we're looking now. Now I'm getting into telling you about some, I can't tell you everything about the big surprise about our case that's coming, but there's going to be a lot of upheaval soon. Because we're considering, I haven't made the final decision, but I'm talking with the board and some other stakeholders about introducing some other evidence to support our case. If that evidence gets submitted by us, it could be very controversial. But anyway, there could be some very interesting things which will trigger a national conversation unlike anything we've had before, if it blows up as big as I think it's going to. So I know that's very vague, and some of you are probably thinking, well, why even tell me that if you're not going to give me all the details? I'm just saying, watch for it, because we may go, you know, where we've gone so far has never been done, never even been attempted. Where we go after that isn't even rattling around anybody's head to attempt it. It's a long way to go. And I think even some gun owners would be like, wow, you're going a little far there. But anyway, it's going to be very interesting. So does our case deserve to be supported? Absolutely. Could it change your life as a gun owner? Yeah, it could. All right, that's it. I've talked for too long. I had a lot that I wanted to fill you guys in on. It's an exciting time. It's a horrible time and an exciting time to be a gun owner. All right, I'm going to go to a commercial break. When I come back, I'm going to bring on Tracy Wilson. Hey, everybody. This is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. All right, on the Skype, I've got Wilson. Wilson.
Giltaka.
Oh, wow.
How are you?
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm all right. It's been very busy. I'm kind of exhausted, as usual.
I know. Nothing new. But I'm personally just super excited to be welcoming the Canadian gun community to my hometown, which is the nation's capital. So I'm excited for everybody to come next month for the march. So, yeah, I'm a little worked up.
Yeah, well, it's going to be tricky, but we're doing it. But let's talk about that in a second. So a couple of announcements. We brought Adam Pound back to the CCFR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Adam worked with us previously. Things were a little quiet prior to COVID. And when the COVID kind of, you know, lockdown happened across the country, if not across the globe, we were concerned that we probably wouldn't have enough work for Adam. So we let him go. But he was happy to come back and he's right back into it. So all you people out there who, you know, maybe they're slow to get a response from us when you email the info@firearmrights.ca inbox or you're calling and not getting a call back, that is going to be alleviated. And I'm not going to make excuses because we should never let it get so... You know, so we're so far in the weeds that it was almost impossible to get out of without Adam's help. But I do want to thank everybody for their patience and for their support, because I know it's hard to donate and be a member somewhere. And then, you know, you're calling with a question and you're not getting an answer. And that's never OK. So we're going to do our best to make sure that we don't get that far behind. But just know that the reason we got that far behind is because we're working 24 hours a day for you guys. So,
well, then, yeah. And at that point, there was only three of us.
Yeah.
And we grew by 40% in a month.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we were executing projects like crazy. We were actually doing advocacy stuff, which is, you know, it's not always the case. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we launched a huge lawsuit and did all the things that you guys have heard us brag about and put on our list and everything. We did all that stuff during the last 90 days. And then that flood of emails was too much to emails and messages. It was just too much.
And, oh yeah. Like literally thousands of them coming in. And it's difficult because anybody who knows us knows, like, members come first for us, and I really do want to get back to everybody individually. It's literally impossible. So we've called in the troops, we've got some help, and things are on the rise. Adam came by yesterday to pick up some of that mail, some of those membership cards that have been returned. He's going to be working on that, and he's got the inbox almost up to date. So we're looking in a lot better position as far as member communications go. So watch for that to continue to improve as we go.
Perfect. Next thing that we want to cover real quick is the CCFR masks and the tankards.
Yeah. So
two
those tanks, yeah, they're selling like hotcakes, literally. So the masks we have reordered for a third time. It was funny when Staffer Steve first came to me with this idea. I was like, oh, I don't know. Does anybody really want to wear that? And I thought, you know, maybe they do. Okay, just order some to start. And of course, they were sold out in a matter of hours. And we did a second order that was twice the size, and they were sold out, I think, in 2 days. So we have placed a third and larger order this time. As well, I'm looking at a second style of mask, so you'll have a little bit of choice on the website. And these will be a little more adjustable because I'm getting comments from, you know, the anywhere from these masks are too small, they're too big, the loops are too big, they fall off my ears, the loops are too small, it's too tight on my face. So we found an adjustable mask that's super awesome looking. And so we're sourcing those right now. So coming soon, you will have two options for masks. And it doesn't look like the regulations about wearing them or the mandating of wearing them in some cities is going to go away anytime soon. So if you can't beat them, join them, and you may as well represent while you're doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. And then we've got the tankards turned out to be a lot more popular than we thought.
That's another time, I will admit, mark it on the calendar, I was completely wrong. Again, staffer Steve came to me with this, you know, this expensive kind of boutique type mug. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I don't know if people are willing to spend $50 on that kind of mug. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It's, you know, you can put your coffee in it. You can put a beer in it. Like these are great. Like guys love them. Girls love them. They're beautiful. They last forever. They're dishwasher friendly. So I let him order a small order of 50 because they're made, they're like a small production. This isn't made in a factory somewhere, you know, mass produced. These are individually made and they've got our logo on them and they're beautiful, right? So we did a small order, and again, in less than 3 hours, they were completely sold out. So I had to eat crow a second time and go back to Steve and say, increase the order. So we increased the order to 250 this time, five times the original order, thinking that would suffice. At the same time, I had Steve, well, it was his idea, actually. I'm not going to take credit for it, but I had him enable the email notifications. So when an item goes out of stock in the store and you're like, oh, I really wanted that, I wonder when it's going to come available again, you are able to sign up for an email notification. So the moment, the moment the product goes back into stock, you get an email notification from the store. It's all automated saying, hey, buddy, this is back in stock. Go ahead and order. Here's the link. So it's great. You don't have to keep it in the top of your mind. We have enough to worry about trying to go back and look for products. So yeah, we had over 350 people sign up for email notifications. So Steve called me and said, I don't know if 250 is going to cut it. And I said, crank up production to 500. Now we are in the queue for production. I believe we are in production now. I got him to call them and see if we if they had started producing ours yet. We were next in line in the queue, so they hadn't started. So increasing the order to 500 was no problem. So the good news is when they come back in stock, there will be lots. So
cool.
And if they sell out again, well, we'll order them again. People cool. seem to really love them. So yeah.
Well, we got to move on to the Integrity March because I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to hear more about what's going on with that. And I babbled on in the beginning of the podcast for God knows how long. So. But yeah, if you're interested in those things, they will be back in the store soon. All right. The Integrity March.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great time for gun owners to get out and have their voice heard. A lot of people are asking me what the point of the protest is. Well, it's not a protest. It's a demonstration or a march. The idea here is we want to ask, well, we want to demand integrity from our lawmakers, both in their behavior and in the decisions they make when crafting policy. Now, we know full well that the OIC gun ban, as well as C71, and probably every other gun bill before that, they're not integrous decisions. They're not evidence-based. These are political decisions based on the whims of liberal voters. So, you know, I think as Canadians and as everyday regular folks with a really incredible sport, we also want the same thing everybody else wants. We want to save for Canada. And at the same time, whether or not you agree that gun owners in Canada should have this type of firearm or that type of firearm, I don't think there's a Canadian that can say that this gun ban is going to stop the violent crime that we're seeing in our cities and communities across the country. So that's sort of the point of it. And You know, we do a lot of activities. We do lobbying. We put out these great videos. We're literally taking them to court. I mean, we've got monumental projects. At the same time, we also want Canadians to have a look at us. Like, we want to represent our community, but we also want to appeal to the public. And for me, that means letting them see who we are. We're not, I don't want them to be afraid of us. We're average folks. I'm a little blonde chihuahua owning grandma. You know, I think that through media and Hollywood and politicians, that people have some sort of negative stereotype or negative view in their mind of what an AR-15 owner is. And it's false. So we want to disprove that. We don't want to play into it. Which brings me to what to wear. A lot of people are asking me, you know, is there going to be some, you know, are we dressing up in a certain manner? You know, should we all show up in camo? You know, a lot of us are hunters. And I mean, if that's what you want to wear, that's one thing. But what I want you to think about is you are representing the community and you are trying to appeal to the public. I'm going to show up in jeans and a blazer. That's what I would normally be wearing. I'm going to show up as myself. You know, if you're a lawyer, show up in a suit. If you're, you know, working out in the oil fields, wear your coveralls. Like, we are everyday people. If you're a soccer coach, wear your jersey. Like, there's, I want Canadians to see us for who we really are. And I don't want to let the Liberals define what our community really is. So that's kind of, that's kind of my view on it.
Well, and, you know, as you said, you know, I want people to remember what the goal is. And I think something that happens in our community is everybody gets so frustrated that they switch over to, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to show up in a plate carrier, you know, or what have you. And it's like, you know what? Don't let them frustrate you to the point that you undermine yourself. There's nothing like, I own a plate carrier, right? I have full battle rattle here, you know, you know, on a rack, you know, waiting for, you know, whatever I do, whether I'm training or instructing or whatever, which I don't do enough of that, either of that lately, but you know, I'm not coming in that, right? Because what I do for a living every day, I wear, you know, well, I guess I wear pajamas a lot, but nonetheless, because I'm working from home. But, you know, if I'm traveling or making appearances or whatever, I'm either in a suit or just dressed nicely. So that's how I'm going to dress. And that's what Canadians want to see. So don't play into the stereotype. Don't let them, you know, paint you into a corner. And I think a lot of us get frustrated and then we're like, oh, I don't care. I'm, you know, this is me, take it or leave it. And it's like, well, you know, so don't think that we're asking you to do something against your morals by dressing appropriately for the event. I'm just asking you to be a productive member of this event, of this demonstration. And because we have a goal, and it's to show Canadians who we are, and we're your neighbors, and we're you know, equals, if not, I might even go as far as to say a little bit better than most people because we're under more scrutiny. So, you know what, that's what we're trying to do. Certainly one thing that needs to be mentioned, because it was floating around a little bit. Yeah, it's just not an armed march. For God's sakes, it's not a peaceful open carry march. It's not, that is not what we're doing. And you show up with a firearm and you'll probably get arrested. And I'm not going to do anything to defend you. We're showing up to say all the things that Tracy just said. We're not showing up to, you know, as a show of you know, physical force. So don't bring any firearms. Don't show up ready to go to war with all of your tack gear on. Just show up to say, I'm a regular citizen. I deserve as much respect as everybody else. And don't let them, you know, don't play into their stereotypes, right? So yeah, totally. And a lot of people, yeah. And then just one more thing is like, this is not a protest, right? I did a post on a firearm forum, and I use that word only because that triggers people. That's what they think that this, you know, that this kind of action would be called, but it's not. It's by definition, it's a demonstration. So, right. And by our definition, it's actually a march. So we're not really protesting anything. We're just trying to get a little bit of attention. And then at the same time, we have our own, you know, covert reasons why we're doing this. I'm not going to tell anybody what those are, but I need this to happen for other reasons. So I think it's just it's a great win-win for everybody.
And I think, too, our community's really been kicked around. You know, that's an understatement, actually, the last 5 years with this government. And I know this is... part of the benefit of doing an event like this is actually it's selfish, right? It's for us. We will feel better. We get to see each other. We get to, you know, stand shoulder to shoulder and feel like we're a community and feel like we're doing something. So I've also had a lot of people ask me, is this family friendly? So that's where the division between a protest and a rally or a march comes in. You know, when you're thinking of a protest, especially with the division and terrible stuff going on in the States, would I bring a child to that? Of course not. I think they're insane to do so, right? However, this is something totally different. We're going to be marching along. We're going to be led by a really cool bagpipe and drum band. You know, there's to me, there's nothing more inspiring than listening to the sound of the bagpipes. But yeah, if you got kids, I intend to bring my grandson. If you've got smaller kids, maybe bring them in a stroller. This is not, we're not showing up there because we're angry. Don't get me wrong. We are very angry. And that's why we're going to court. We're showing up here in solidarity with each other to demand that the government do a better job, work on crime, solve the problems. There's literally, like, the risk of not doing so is measured in human lives. So yeah, I would say that this is a family-friendly event. Also, keep in mind that we are under a global pandemic right now. So we do want to take precautionary measures to make sure that we stay safe. I care about you guys. I don't want anyone to get sick or anything negative to happen to any of us. So, you know, although it's an outdoor event, if you're more comfortable wearing a mask, we totally encourage that. We will have the disposable type of masks on hand, as well as hand sanitizer. There will be buses rolling in. That's kind of a separate topic, but there will be some buses rolling in from the ranges, clubs, and retailers all across Ontario and Quebec. As people are getting off the bus, they're going to get a squirt of hand sanitizer. The idea here is to have everything be a success, right? I don't want anybody to get sick. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want anyone to make a fool of themselves or the rest of us. I want us all to go out and show Canadians that we can do things and we can do them right. So lastly, if you're not feeling well and you've got a fever or, you know, you're not sure about your health situation, then maybe participate by watching online and sharing the content. We'll be live streaming all over the place. So there'll be lots of cool stuff to watch. But if you can come out, I think it would be awesome. So there is a big email going out today to ranges, clubs, and retailers as far away as Toronto to talk about organizing bus trips from their venues. And I think that's a great way to get, you know, a chunk of people out at once. Then you're not fighting for parking downtown Ottawa, which is a nightmare. You're on the bus together. There's a certain amount of camaraderie that happens there. There is a little package I put together with information on who to call, where to get started, what prices look like. You can get that by emailing march@firearmrights.ca, and we'll get that over to you. So, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, hey, if my range did this, that'd be a lot of fun. I think we should do it. I want you to reach out to your club president right now and pop an email over to us at march@firearmrights.ca, and we'll get that package to you. And if you need some guidance throughout that, we'll help you with that as well.
Faux show. And I think you did a really good job just now of characterizing what it is we're trying to do. And, you know, and when it comes to wearing a mask, you know, we're not asking anyone to take the mark or to take a knee or whatever by wearing a mask if they don't want to. We're just trying to all cooperate with each other. That's it. So, you know, if you guys don't mind doing that, just to make it as safe as we can without actually wearing, you know, Tyvek biohazard suits, or we're engaging in, you know, whether or not, you know, the virus is as widespread as anybody says, like, that's not what this is about. We're just we want to represent that we're careful, caring people. We're going on a 2K walk together. We're going to carry some signs. We're going to listen to some bagpipe music. We're going to demand better from our leaders, and that's it. And then you can go back to whatever it was you're doing in the style that you're doing it before. So if you want to participate in that, we would love it if you did. So, and it's no more complex or deep than that. Next thing, when it comes to the image that we're trying to portray, there was talk online about, well, you know, this isn't a good idea. And basically people echoing all of the risks that I spoke about before when we talked about not doing this kind of public gathering. you know, we have a plan that mitigates the risk as best as possible. And you'll get all the details of that plan shortly in a handbook, in a, you know, Integrity March Survival Guide that'll go to every individual that wants to show up at this. And you'll see how carefully we've planned this. But everything right down to a few volunteers at the back of the line with garbage bags, picking up anything that's left behind, anything that someone might have inadvertently dropped. Like, we are going to show Canada and Canadians what it's like to make a peaceful petition to the government, and how much better at this that we are than everyone else. That's the goal. So as I said, if you want to participate in that, that's awesome. And we'd really, really appreciate it. Now, did we talk about that we might even have some campsites available?
Yeah, so I've been talking with some of the ranges about camping here. Of course, it's difficult because these are member ranges, right? So it's hard to jam a whole bunch of RVs in there. But I took it upon myself this morning to reach out to some of the local RV campsites. And there's actually some really great options here. So in Greeley, which is about 20 minutes from downtown Ottawa, it's out in the country. It's actually in City of Ottawa Councillor George DeRuze's ward of Greeley. There's the Poplar Grove RV campsite. This is a super cheap way to come. I've got some people coming from Alberta, BC. They're coming from all over and they're looking for campsites. So I'm going to be adding this to the web post about the march. So I'll add all this information up. I just didn't have time to do that before we hooked on to this this podcast. But for $47 a night, you can roll in your RV, get full electrical 30 amp hookup service, water service. It's a gated park. Excuse me, very safe, very easy to access downtown. And of course, if you want to do that, there are also public transit options for you. So if you're rolling in an RV, I'm sure you don't want to drive it all the way downtown and try and find parking. But you can leave the campsite, bring the family downtown or your friends downtown, and come to the event and then get back out there. The capital is a beautiful place, especially with the Gatineau Hills here. There's a lot to do. There's also Wesley Clover Park's RV site on Corkstown Road, which is sort of the opposite direction in the city. $52 for 30-amp electricity service, full water service. They've got a great kids park there as well. So, you know, this is an option for people who are living far away and saying, oh, man, it's so far away from me. Instead of looking at expensive flights and hotels and that way, think about it this way. If you jumped in an RV or a van or whatever, brought your family, brought the kids, bring your friends, bring whoever will come with you. There's some opportunities here to actually turn it into a little bit of a weekend stay or even a vacation. You will not run out of things to do in this city. The restaurants here are amazing. It is a gorgeous city, regardless of the awful, ugly things that happen in Parliament. Rest assured, Ottawa is a very beautiful place, and there's tons of great stuff to do here. It's a very family-friendly city. So, yeah, I just want to keep that in mind for people who are far away. We've had a lot of people ask, well, can we do them in every city across the country? And I'm going to have to say no to that. The CCFR is not going to be doing that this time around, simply for the reason that the idea here is I'd really like to see 10,000 people descend upon Ottawa, where the laws are made and the lawmakers are. This is where the problem is. This is where the corruption is. So I'd love to see everybody come here rather than 12 people show up at 100 different cities. We only need to look at the failure of the Canadian Doctor for Protection from Guns Day of Action last year, you know, where they had like 4 people show up in Calgary. Like, it's just miserable. I would really like to make one big impression. You know, down the road, maybe we'll do something else, do some other nationwide activity. I would love to support that. But at this time, this is the idea. So there's some options open to you. There's a bit of time ahead of time. If you have any questions, you know, about camping or things to do in Ottawa or anything like that, you can send an email over to march@firearmrights.ca. And we can try and hook you up with all the information possible. But I really want you to dig into this and see, is there any way possible you can come no matter where you are? Because I think if you know, if at all possible, you should be here. We need you.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to, so there was a couple of things I thought about when you were talking. So I'll just add a little bit to what you were saying about protests across the country. Now, there was in our national education campaign that we had planned on, this was just before COVID hit, there was actually stuff for every major center in the country, which mm-hmm. got undermined immediately by the whole COVID thing, right? But, you know, the other reason why we're not doing micro protests in other cities is because we can't control any of that stuff. So it's not going to be associated with our name. You know, if, you know, 12 guys in, you know, in wherever in Canada have a protest, it turns violent, or somebody comes down and assaults them or whatever. There's no way for us to control that stuff. In Ottawa, we do have control of it because we actually have the protection of the Ottawa Police Service.
Yep.
And the blessing of City Hall. So the Ottawa Police will be clearing the route for us and will be providing security. So, you know, when people there are concerned about, you know, an anti-protest or any, you know, hammerhead that's going to show up and thinks he's going to take a poke at a gun owner because he's been driven insane on Twitter, you know, for no good reason, like, don't even bother.
Yeah.
It's not going to turn out well for you on five different levels. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to mitigate those risks too. And we've got cooperation from Ottawa City. So I really appreciate their cooperation as well. All right. Well, we better wrap it up because this whole thing's running long. Was there anything else you wanted to cover before we quit this segment?
No, I think that's it. I just want to encourage everybody to come on, see me. 5 days after this protest, it's my birthday. So if you come, we'll get a cake. It'll be fun.
If there's no other good reason to drive to Ottawa, there's one for you right there.
There you go. That's
awesome. Well. All right, Tracy, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon, Rod. Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 74 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks again to everyone over at Vortex Canada. Vortex, the power of optics, for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. And again, when it comes to appreciation, thanks everybody for giving as much as you can. And if you can't, you're not in a position to donate or become a member, just get on social media, do a little bit of work, join the CCFR Action Group, right? If you're on Facebook, just search CCFR Action Group and ask to join and just carry out some of the tasks that are in there. That's something that you can do that costs you nothing but a little bit of time and effort. And when it comes to all the material that we're producing with Wild TV and Sportsman Channel, you know, spreading that information is really important because, yes, it's on an outdoor channel. You're preaching the converted for sure. We're also educating our own community by doing that kind of work. But it's up to you to play an active part in spreading that information, that high production value content across the internet so where everyone else can see it and compel people to watch it, right? Those are tools that we've created, and it's got to go over to you to help spread that information. So really, really important you do that. Anyway, again, thanks everyone so much for your support. Look for a new podcast coming soon, and always keep your eyes on firearmrights.ca. For more web stories and status updates from all the things that we're doing, especially as it applies to the Integrity March. More information will be coming out every week on that. And other than that, thanks for your support, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.